The title of the message is Helping Others Find Faith. Helping Others Find Faith. So we sometimes we ask the question, well, how can I do that? Well, Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, another translation is the Phillips translation. It says, as your spiritual teacher, I give this piece of advice to each one of you. Do not cherish exaggerated ideas of yourself. That's being humble. Or your importance. Our friend used to say, don't people know how important I think I am? You know? So don't have exaggerated ideas or of your importance, but try to have a sane. I should have scratched that out for our congregation. Just sane, just get rid of that one. I won't. Okay. Well, anyhow, try to have a sane estimate of your capabilities by the light of the faith that God has given to you all. And the challenge is that, the King James says it basically in the sense that God has given to everyone a measure of faith. So God has given to everyone the ability to believe. Some people have taken their faith and believe in nothing. People have taken their faith and believed in themselves or in the system or in whatever. So everybody has faith. God has given them, so what happens is people have a tendency to direct their faith where they think it's important. Well, as we have come to know Christ and as God is in our hearts and lives, we know that our faith that is invested in Him does not fail, and it always brings positive returns. So we would guess that, how many ways are there to share one's faith? Well, there can be one way or there can be numerous ways. We find that there are the message of Christ feeding the hungry, helping the homeless, those who are addicted to find places where they can recover from their addictions, missionaries to foreign lands, home missions, and so on and on. There are different ways that we can share our faith. Even doing hair can be a mission. I have to pick on everybody once in a while. But mostly we must know the need of the person to whom we are ministering. What is the need? Now, in our Sunday school lesson, it talked about relationship, relationship, relationship. You know, in real estate, it's location, location, location. But in our ministry and service to other people, it is our relationship with God, our relationship with our family, and our relationship to others. So it is about relationship. And the good thing about relationships is we're able to understand the need of someone that we are associating with. I thought of the, in El Salvador, where our son is a missionary, during one of the tornado, the hurricanes or whatever that went through, they sent a lot of stoves from the U.S. to the royal people in El Salvador. It was a great idea, but they don't have electricity. You know, so they had no idea. They had no clue what they were doing. So they just thought it'd be a good idea. So those stoves sat out in the woods, you know, in the middle of nowhere, rusting away because they have no electricity. They have no gas, you know, natural gas. They do everything by battery. So they have batteries piled everywhere that, you know, they run them out and, you know, put them on. That's where they get their light for the evening. And when their batteries go dead, they have no light. And so they go buy another battery. So hopefully that they're able to get some solar charges. But what do we need to, we never need to reinvent the wheel, as in sharing our faith. And I hesitate to use this, but it's, you know, we look at the model for selling, for a salesman, a salesperson. And there are six things, and I'm going to, of course, turn these around, and I'm not saying that sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ is like selling cars or used cars or whatever. It's not in that sense, so bear with me as we go through. Completely understand the product. Know your market. Position the product as a solution to a problem. Make your customer feel comfortable with you. show first, then sell. Don't talk down to your audience. So we'll see how that all turns around in our ability to help people understand the message of Christ. So there are many things that we can keep in mind as we are building relationships. Mark chapter 6, this is Jesus in verse 35, and I'm going to spend a lot of time going through this chapter. And when the day was now far spent, this is when Jesus is, these large crowds have been following Jesus. He's been ministering to them all day. It's evening time, and the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about, into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." So, in the first sense of this, we are recognizing the need. Now, one of the things in ministering or talking to people about Christ, you don't have to have all the answers. And most of the time, it's not, you know, what the answer you give is not the one they want to hear anyhow. So, but what is the, we're going on about finding the need. So Jesus is going to feed these 5,000 people with five flat pancakes and two sardines. And probably their silver dollar pancakes, you know, because it's a child's lunch. So he's going to, he sends them out to find what they have. So it's a very interesting scenario. One, they have discovered a need, and Jesus tells them to go find out what they have. Now, in most of our lives, we think, well, we're not good enough, we don't have enough, and all those types of things. So one of the ideas is, number one, completely understand the product that you're selling, okay? If we were selling, but we're not. Mark chapter 6, verse 10. "And he said unto them, In what place soever ye enter into a house, there abide till ye depart from that place." So he's telling them, if you're going into a village, go to a home, and you stay in that home until you're done in that community. And when you're done in that community, then leave that house that you are in. Don't go moving from house to house. "And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than for the city." You know, it says completely understand the product. We cannot know the Bible cover to cover. All right? I'm sorry. We do not know all, and I mean, you know, if there's, well, I was going to be, never mind. I was going to be, you know, personal reference of, I don't know it all. Contrary to some people's understanding, there's lots of things in the scripture that, you know, perhaps I'm not familiar with, but no one is capable, unless they're a genius, capable of understanding the entire package. So when we are looking at the scriptures and we're looking at what God has done for us, we have to relate it to where we are at in relationship to the scripture and to our relationship with Jesus Christ. So we cannot completely understand the scripture from cover to cover, and people will receive you and some people will not receive you. So never be discouraged because you give to someone and they don't want to hear it. Well, that's fine, that's their choice. So the challenge is for us not to become discouraged in sharing the message. So if I'd done it better, if I'd said this, some people, Jesus even said, there are some communities and some individuals that you're just going to have to shake off the dust and move on. You see, everyone has sinned, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we know that everyone is in need of a Savior, except some people don't know that they are in need of a Savior. It's interesting when you speak with people and they say, well, you know, I'm not that bad. I've never killed anybody. Well, do you ever tell a lie? Well, nah, no. Well, Revelation 21:8 says, "But for the cowards, the faithless and corrupt, the murderers, the traffickers in sex and sorcery, the worshipers of idols, and all liars." You ever tell a lie? It was just a little one. "All liars, their inheritance is in the lake of fire which burns with sulfur," which is the second death. You see, it isn't a measurement of how how good or how bad we've been. It's a matter of have we allowed Christ to forgive us of our sin. And sin separates us from God. Sin is that barrier between what God wants to do in our life and what we want to do. So if we surrender our sin to Christ, we no longer have to carry our past with us. God has forgiven us, and God has given us a future. Every saint has a past. Every sinner has a future. So there isn't anyone who hasn't sinned. So that in our later topics is don't talk down to anyone because we've all sinned. So our challenge is to recognize how that God has worked in our life. The second part of a salesman is know your market. Did you know there are marketplace chaplains? Know your market. Marketplace chaplains are those who work in industry and those who work, well, we have chaplains. I'm an endorsed Assemblies of God chaplain for hospice and hospital. But there are chaplains for rodeo, chaplains for rock climbing. There are chaplains for race car drivers. There are chaplains for cruises, you know. That's what I'm going to try to get for, the cruise, you know, the cruise lines. Be a chaplain on a cruise line. Yeah. So if I go missing for 10 days, where's he at? Oh, he's out in the Bahamas somewhere, you know. So, but yeah, just cruising along with a few screws loose, right? So we are grateful for knowing the marketplace that we live in. And the marketplace is, the, you know, where you live. The Mark chapter 6, verse 12, they went out and preached that men should repent. So the challenge is that we are to look at our life and that sharing our faith with each person, sharing who we are in Christ, what Christ has done for us, and that is our testimony. And that is our story of what God has meant to us and how he has changed our life. You know, to be a good Christian, we have to have backbone. And that means you have the ability to be flexible. Some people interpret backbone as, you know, stiff and rigid. Well, if you have enough screws in your backbone, you are stiff and rigid. But God wants us to be flexible, and that the ministry is something that continues to, I don't like the word evolve, but it continues to reveal as we work and walk with people through their life. So there is a need I always recognize, what is the need of the person? What is the need that they have in their life? And how can God minister to that need through you? Now, again, you don't have to have all the answers, you know. You can dial a pastor, 1-800. but you can recognize that if I don't have the answer, I'll try and find out for you. So you don't have to have all the answers. You know, I remember on our farm when I was growing up, I was probably 12 or something, and one of the guys who was there as a hired man came, and we were talking to him, and if he'd go to church, we always went to church every Sunday. And he said, well, you know, I would believe in God if I could just find out where Lot, wait a minute, where, I missed that one up, Cain got his wife. I would believe if I could just understand where Cain got his wife. You know, well, number one, because we have two kids mentioned, Cain and Abel, doesn't mean Adam and Eve didn't have other children. And ladies, women, girls, that were not, don't take this offensive, at that period in time, their names were not included. So you can have a number of children that Adam and Eve had, and the story is brought to us about Cain and Abel. So he probably would have married one of his sisters. Well, then he believed in incest. You know, back in those days, you got this person and that person, and they're both your sisters. Which one of them are you going to marry? And the idea is, man was more perfect. Man was more perfect. Not man, man. Humankind. Excuse me, my wife gasped. Let that get out over the airways. Mankind was more perfect. There's a guy in England, I think it's in London. He has memorized the entire library, the London city library. He has memorized every book in the library. Now, in dealing with people, sometimes when people have sickness, illness, dementia, things like that, they can recite to you every event that was in their childhood. I can't remember yesterday, but they can remember everything that goes on in their life. And we only use a small portion of our brain, so think about what it was like with Adam and Eve, that they're able to look at Adam, and he's able to look at the animals and name them. He's able to know all of these things, so the genetic background is so much greater than what it is now that, if we have intermarried now, we've got children who have problems. But in that time period, it was not like it is now. So hopefully I've got my foot out of my mouth with that. So some people have a misconception about Jesus and about what the church is and about our relationship with Christ. And, perhaps they've encountered individuals that, if you and I encounter them, we would have a terrible understanding of the church. So make your customer comfortable. Well, Mark 6:34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion. So we find that we're in our life of serving and taking and working with people, the Holy Spirit is like Jesus, the Spirit of Christ, is people you have compassion. There is a sensitivity towards them. Oh, you need a car. No, you need Christ. You see, there's a compassion, there's a hurt, there's a sorrow that you connect with, and people can feel that connection because it is God connecting through you to them. So it's being filled with compassion. We do this with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads his children. The Holy Spirit is the perfect gentleman, as it were, that God, the Holy Spirit will never force you or cause you to do something that is against your will. He will lead you into the kingdom of heaven. The devil drives you into hell. There are addictions and all the things that go with Satan and his lure. Satan literally means adversary. He is persistent in his attempts to hinder God's purpose. He seeks to steal, to destroy. The devil means slanderer. Satan is the tempter. He tempts, lures, tests, entices. So all those things are to take us off course. The Holy Spirit, though, it never calls attention to himself. The work of the Spirit is to draw us to Christ. The work of the Spirit is to help us understand the Word of God. The Word made flesh in Christ and dwelt among us. He is referred to as the Spirit of Christ because he is sent in the name of Christ. His special mission in this age is to glorify Christ. So whenever we, it isn't like we don't set aside and say, worship the Holy Spirit. We recognize the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is what, that sense of compassion, that sense of love, that sense of forgiveness, that's all comes because of the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he exercises the qualities of a personality, the person of the Holy Spirit. He has a mind, he has a will, he has feelings, he reveals, he teaches, he witnesses, he intercedes, he speaks, commands, testifies. The Holy Spirit can be grieved, lied to, and blasphemed. So you see, the Holy Spirit then is he is one who approaches us, and we are willing to accept his teachings and his word. Thanks to the Holy Spirit, the life of Christ becomes our life in Christ. It's all because of what God has done for us. The next one is show first, then sell. Show first, then sell. No, show first, then tell. Mark 6:35, and when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the village and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. Now, one of the challenges is sometimes in our relationships with people, God challenges us. You take care of it. What? The disciples come to Jesus. These people need to go find food. Jesus says to them, you find it. Okay. We're out in the middle of the desert. That's why we're here to you, telling you to send them away, because there's nothing, there's nowhere here to get anything. And Jesus, you go find it. Okay. And they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give to them? It's, you know, it's impossible. We can't find that amount of bread for all these people. You ever talk to God and tell him that what he's asking you to do is impossible? I won't ask you to raise your hands, because all liars go to their, you know, where they go. And he said unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they said, we've got an answer, Jesus. We've got 5 flat pancakes and 2 sardines. We've got the answer. I think you'd be ashamed to say, there's 5,000 people, plus women and children, possibly 15,000 people, and you come back to Jesus with, yes, we found an answer. 5 flat pancakes and 2 sardines. It's a child's lunch. You're fortunate that I'm bringing my sardines again. I did that one time, you know. I put them in a plastic bag, though. And he commanded them to make them all sit down, and when they had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves. That's the challenge for us, that we allow God to take what we have, break it, and bless it. You know, this isn't about us. It's about taking what we have and seeing how the God works in our life. You know, we don't have to have everything. We can have very little, but when the blessing of God is upon what we have, what we have will always be enough. So he gave them to his disciples to set before them, and the 2 fish divided among them all. And they did eat, and they did all eat and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fish. See, it's show and tell. Here it is, people. And this is one of the miracles that's in all 4 Gospels. Because each of the disciples were there around Jesus. They all knew what Jesus had. 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he broke it into the baskets of each of them. And what he had never diminished. And when they went out and served the thousands, the baskets were never diminished. And when they came to the end and they went back and picked up all the fragments, they all had, each of the 12 disciples had a basket full. And it all started with 5 silver dollar pancakes and 2 sardines. You see, we don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to have everything. But what we have to allow God to bless it. To allow God to bless what is in our hands. And that's what's important. God wants to bless our life, and sometimes we are broken, but that's not a bad thing. Sometimes we get to our wits' end. That's not a bad thing. Because wherever we are at, we're asking God for help and for him to bless what is in, what he has placed in our hands. Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You see, coming to God is not just persuading people, you've got to believe this. No, you have to receive this, because you already have a measure of faith. And God has given it to you to believe what he is presenting to you. And the Holy Spirit makes that real. Don't talk down to your audience. Mark 6:53, and when they had passed over, they came. So this is after the feeding of the 5,000. And when they had passed over in the Sea of Galilee, they came to the land of Gennesaret. Anyhow, it's Gennesaret. And drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him. So when he got out of the boat, everybody knew who Jesus was. They ran through the whole region round about and began to carry about the beds of those that were sick, and they found out where Jesus was, and when whosoever he and whenever he entered into a village, they laid the beds out, and that so people could reach out and touch, perhaps even touch his garment. Now, if there's anyone who should have been able to talk down to people, it would have been Jesus. I mean, he's God. But what does he do? He comes to show us the compassion and the love that God has for us. And that he would go to places where people were in great need, and he would speak to them, but also there would be these miracles that followed him. And we find that all believers are unique creations. All of us are unique in our abilities to reach the lives of other people. We each have ministries. We each have a specialization that we were created to be, created to do. And it's important that we allow the Holy Spirit to awaken that creativity in you, to awaken the talent that is in your hands, and allow God to bless it. As Christians are given the mission of speaking to others about Christ, we find that in 1 Corinthians 5:11, the Phillips translation, all our persuading of men is with the solemn fear of God in our minds. What we are is utterly plain to God. The importance of this, what I'm using this scripture for, is who we are is completely open to God. It's plain, it's simple. This is me. This is you. And when God looks at us, he doesn't look at our faults, our failures, our qualifications, our not being qualified for this or that. He looks at us with the idea that he created us while we were yet in our mother's womb. He formed us, put us together. So he didn't leave out any parts. It's like the mechanic who puts an engine together and there's all these parts left. He says, well, we'll see if it runs. Well, God didn't look at us and leave out a few parts. We are plain to God, and I hope you're conscious as well that we are conscious of God's presence and what God can do in and through our lives. So, helping others. Jesus taught the crowd, and then he performed the miracle, and he was helping them find their faith. Helping them find their faith. And that's what we are about, is helping others find their faith in Christ. Not faith in the system, faith in the universe, faith in Jesus Christ. You know, our Sunday school lesson this morning had this story that goes along with our message today. And I want to read it. It says, few people today know the name of Edward Kimball, the Chicago Sunday school teacher who led the young Dwight L. Moody to Christ. Moody became a well-known evangelist who won many to the kingdom, including Wilbur Chapman, who became a prolific writer and preacher. During one of Chapman's crusades in 1886, a restless young baseball player named Billy Sunday gave his life to Christ and was called into ministry. Billy Sunday became a fiery, unconventional evangelist who led the young Mordecai Ham to Christ. Ham became an evangelist who often rented a horse to ride the streets to advertise his services for the night. When Ham came to Charlotte, North Carolina, a group of high school students decided to go to his meetings to interrupt him. A fellow student known as Billy Frank went to see what would happen. That night, Billy Frank was intrigued by what he heard and returned the next night. When he responded to the invitation and was converted, Billy Frank was Billy Franklin Graham, the evangelist who preached to some 215 million people. And none of us really know Edward Kimball, who basically started that. And he was a Sunday school teacher. You see, who we are and what God has created us to be is bigger than who we are. You know, we're not to have this enticed imagination of our value, but we are to see the value of who we are in Christ. And whenever we are five flat pancakes and two sardines in the hand of Jesus, there's no limit to what can happen in our life. We are in a relationship with God. We are in relationship with people. And the Holy Spirit works in our life to touch their lives. And we are breaking the bread of life, Jesus, and sharing it with them. That's how we help share the faith, grow the faith of others. Amen? Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you save us from our sins. We confess our faith. We confess our sins to you, and we ask your forgiveness. And Lord, you cleanse our hearts, our minds. You free us from our transgressions, our sins, our past. Lord, anything that would tie us to the tempter, the Satan, we ask your forgiveness and break those bonds. Set us free, O Lord, from them. Enable us, Lord, to, through your Holy Spirit, to be strong in faith, to be mighty men and women of God, simply by sharing your word and your love to others. We ask your blessing now upon your word, upon our lives. Touch our families, Lord. Keep them close to you. Keep them safe in your presence and in your hands. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.